Welcome to the Hustler's Guide to Flow. I'm your host, Marcia Miyake, and I'm taking you into the minds of some of the most incredible leaders in the medical, research, business, and yes, even spiritual fields to equip you with powerful insights and practical strategies to level up in business and in life. The next level version of yourself starts now. Today's guest is not only an Instagram specialist, international keynote speaker, a regular guest on Channel 9 News Perth, but she's also the creator of the Social Club Membership and Academy, which has supported thousands of businesses globally. And as if being one of Australia's most influential Instagram speakers and trainers isn't exciting enough, this powerhouse woman is about to become a mom. Oh my God. I am so excited to have back on the show Brooke Volanovich. You are going to love this conversation with Brooke, where we talk about, of course, her pregnancy and how to connect with our customers and build genuine connection and how to stand out online. Make sure you check the show notes to download her new ebook, The New Rules to Gaining Instagram Followers in 2021. Welcome back to the show. I'm so excited to have you here. Thanks for making the time, babe.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here again.
Of course. Oh my God. Okay. So we're definitely going to talk about Instagram, but before we get into that, you're pregnant. I'm gonna, like, let you get away like that.
I am.
Yay. How many weeks are we?
I'm 24.
Oh my gosh. So did you find that your first trimester was like hard, or did you have an easy first trimester? Yeah.
It was not easy. It's still not easy. No, to be completely honest with you, my first trimester was horrible. It was rough. I can't believe how long you can be sick for.
Oh my God. Okay. So were you one of those people? I had this, not with my first pregnancy, with Aaliyah, I had morning sickness. It was pretty bad. I had to pull over, would like vomit and stuff. But with Luca, it was all day.
That was me. All day, all night. The first 3 weeks was literally nonstop for 3 weeks. And I was just like, I can't do 9 months of this. And then I actually had a consult with a pregnancy, like, nutritionist or dietitian, just cause I just didn't know what to do. And she gave me a couple of tips that helped me get it started off with, like, maybe half an hour to an hour a day relief I would get. And then it went to sort of an hour or two every couple of days, and then gradually it kind of calmed down. But so many people said to me, just wait till second trimester, wait till 12 weeks, you'll just wake up one day and you'll feel amazing. And that did not happen to me at all. Even last week when I was driving, I had to pull over because I thought I was going to throw up. So and I think it's really hard. I mean, as I'm sure you understand, just so constantly being told things, and it just is, every single person is on their own journey. And what's been really hard for me, and I've really struggled with, is having everyone else's journey and experience pushed on me. So then you're either constantly told you're doing everything wrong, basically killing your baby every single day, second guessing everything that you're doing and feeling like, well, what's wrong with me? Because that's not my experience.
Yeah. I'm so glad we're talking about this. Oh my God, I felt the same way. And it's just like, it's so true. I feel like people are coming from a really great place. They're like, look, let me give you support by telling you what happened with me. And like, let me advise you what to do, because we don't want to hurt your baby. But it's like, I remember I was probably like, I think 27 weeks, where someone I was studying at the time, someone came up to me and was like, I feel like you really need to eat something. Your stomach is so little. And I was like, oh my God. And I was having smoothies at the time. And I know people will have their view on that, but it was all to keep down.
And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and it was
so hard, isn't it?
Yeah. And how's Dom been? Because it was so funny. My first trimester, Dan and I were like this because he's very health conscious. And he was like, oh, babe, like, let me just make you a plate of like greens. And the thought of greens,
like, salad and meat. Oh, I know, it's crazy. He's been really good, but there were definitely times when he would, like, I would be on the couch dying at like 4 o'clock in the morning. He would go to work, and I'd been up all night sick. He would go to work. He'd come home from work, and I wouldn't have moved. And that just happened for days and days and days. And he would come home and be like, how are you still sick? I'm like, I don't know. So, yeah, it was yuck.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And I think for women like us too, who want to do a lot of things during the day, it feels so debilitating. Like, I remember feeling so frustrated, and like, I used to like just cry because I'm like, oh my God, like, I just couldn't
get
myself to do anything. And like, I felt so sick. But it's so funny because I, like, the last couple of girlfriends that I've talked to have all had the same experience. And I don't know if it's like a businesswoman thing, but they're both entrepreneurs. And like, my one friend, she was sick basically like almost her whole pregnancy. And she was like, why do people tell you it's meant to be done? She's like, in the first trimester, she's like, I can't remember how far along she was, but she was like sick all the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you just don't know anybody's journey. Everybody's doing their own thing. And like, I think all of us should be like listening and just asking, how's it going?
Yes.
Rather than let me tell you. Oh my God.
Just constantly being told how you should be feeling. By what I've noticed is anyone that's had even just one child is the expert in all things baby, and you're wrong. And that's really hard because you're just trying to get through your day, run your business, be a good wife, not go fucking insane. And it's hard.
Oh my God, it's so hard. And like I said, I feel like people are coming from like a loving place, but I kind of feel like it's also sometimes a place of like significance. Like, maybe they don't feel super confident or competent in another area, and so they're like, oh, I know about this, let me see what I know, you know. And so I definitely got some of that, but I was a bit like, okay, thank you, I'm good now. But yeah, I just want to let you know you're doing an amazing job. You know, if you hadn't heard that you were pregnant, I wouldn't have fucking known.
It's so funny. So many people said that. So I was trying to keep it not a secret, but I'm not, you know me, I'm not like a blogger. I'm very clear on my purpose and direction in what it is that I do. And I don't share that much of my personal life because it's not really of any value to my customers. And then Dom and I had pretty much planned when we were going to announce it. And then we did a little staycation over Christmas at a hotel in Perth. And it was hot. I was at the pool. I was in my bathers. And we got through 3 days. And then on the next day, I had 3 people throughout the day come up and say, are you Brooke? I follow you on Instagram. Are you pregnant? And I was like, fuck. Okay. and like, you know, at that point, you can't suck it in. Like, it is there. And then Dom was so funny. He said to one of them, he was like, how did you know? And they're like, because you're always so tiny. Like, you're so tiny and you have this little bulge. So I thought, all right, this is, I'm gonna have to say it because I work on screen, you know? So from like here up, even like right now, you probably can't tell.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't at all. And I was like, oh my God. I remember one of the girls, actually, I think Vesty likes him. She's like, oh my God, guess what? She like sent me a screenshot.
Oh my God.
We were so
oh, that's so sweet. It was so lovely though, honestly. I think, you know, being able to finally share that, because that was the hard thing as well, because I was so sick. I kind of disappeared off the face of the planet for a couple of months. I would, in my like half an hour of the day where I felt alive-ish, I would record stories that I could then use for the next couple of days. But I couldn't see my I didn't even see my friends, because you can't even make plans, because you just sometimes, like, it, as well with morning sickness and driving, not a good combination, because it's like being seasick on top of morning sickness.
And it's like getting off a roller coaster and you're just trying to.
Oh my gosh. It's so, even when I started to feel better, every day I would wake up and say to Dom, like, oh my God, how good does it feel to feel good? It feels so good. You don't understand.
I know. I think it's so hard for them to, like, get it. Like, I remember Ben was like, I don't get it. He could see how sick I was.
But yeah. Oh, it's awful. Anyway, but yeah, when we did announce it, it was really lovely, because we just got so many incredible messages of support. And yeah, it's cool how excited people get. And you're excited too. So it was then nice to be able to finally say, this is why I've disappeared for the past 3 months or 4 months, I think it was by then. So yeah,
it's still exciting. And so do you feel like things will change in your business once you become a mom, or do you feel like you've systemized things in a way where you're like, okay, it's not going to be like super, like, what's your take on, like, now you've been a successful entrepreneur, but now you're like becoming a mom too. And what's your, like, how are you feeling about all of that?
Well, oh, I love that question. So it wasn't unplanned. It was very much planned. And over the course of my business, I've wanted to get it to a point so that when I had kids, I could make everything work. So it's definitely been, I suppose, something that's been on the back of my mind to outsource as much as possible and build a really strong team around me so that I could eventually pull back. So last year, I had a lot of international travel with keynote speaking around the world. So in sort of setting myself up for the plans that were meant to happen last year, I had really built a team and, yeah, outsourced as much as I possibly could in the business. I also had something going on personally last year. My sister was really, really sick and unfortunately passed away. So in the process of that also happening, because I was spending so much time with her and at the hospital, I was forced to probably outsource and delegate a lot more than perhaps I was ready for, but I didn't have a choice, because I couldn't do the work at the time. And it almost accidentally then set me up for this, because, like I said, there were certain things that I was just forced to delegate because they had to get done, which I perhaps wouldn't have actually done yet. But now I have. So obviously last year with COVID, travel got completely wiped out. And it worked out because it allowed me to spend a lot more time with my sister before she did end up passing away. So everything, obviously it was awful that she passed away, but everything sort of worked out for our family to be able to be here and be with her during that time. And then what happened was, obviously, for the months after that, I was just like a mess and there was nothing happening up here anyway. But as I started to sort of feel a little bit better, I was like, wow, I have so much free time now, because I used to spend it doing all of my work. Then it got filled with spending time with my sister, and now other people are doing all the work. What should I do now? that's sort of what happened.
That's perfect. Like, it couldn't have worked out better. First of all, I wanted to say I'm so sorry for the loss of your sister. And also, I really want to acknowledge you for, because I know that's a pain that few people can even begin to understand. I'm not even gonna pretend to know what like that even feels like. But just in your way of your beautiful energy and how you show up to your audience, you know, we wouldn't have known that you were pregnant, that you had all this stuff happening in your personal life, the loss of your sister. You still showed up and you brought your beautiful energy. And I admire that. So I just want to acknowledge that. I admire that so much. And I know you're inspiring. Someone is listening and is going through a really hard time, and you just gave them that little, you know what, you can do this too. Because we go through our trials and tribulations, but yeah, you really stayed the course to your dreams, and now you're going to be able to welcome this beautiful little baby with a lot less stress than someone who's just getting sitting in that hustle mode still, where you're like, you know, super overwhelmed all the time. So that's amazing. I can't wait to see Brooke as a mom. This is,
oh my gosh. I just wish he was here, and I know I'll probably regret that when he comes out and I haven't slept and I'm a mess, but now that I'm feeling better, I'm like, I just want to meet you. I want you to be here. I want to hang out with you. I want to be your friend. I want to have like my little buddy with me all the time. But
I was the same. I was like, I can't wait. With my daughter, I was like, she was over. She went 40 and 4, and then I was ended up being
44. You were 44 weeks.
No, 40 and 4. So 40 and 4 days.
Oh, 4 days. Got it.
Yeah. Oh my God, no.
I was like, what?
Yeah, oh my God. And then Luca was 39 and 6, I think. So he was almost at 40.
Right.
But yeah, just like having them in your arms, it's just like, you know,
the best.
It's magic. It's magic.
Do you know what is like a new feeling, like a new level of love that I've never experienced, is when Dom can feel him kicking. Like that feeling, because that only happened a couple of weeks ago. Like, he kicks me like a maniac and has been doing for ages, but Dom still couldn't feel it. And then a couple of weeks ago, he felt it for the first time and was just like, that was amazing. That feeling was just amazing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I can't wait for you to hold your baby and then see like you and your baby in the trajectory, and then also seeing Dom in the baby. Like with Luca, I always say, because I always call Dan little Daniel, like when I see him as his little child, and aww. I'm like, oh my God, it's little Daniel. Like I see so much of his face, the like the things he does.
Yeah.
I'm like, that.
I can't wait to like watch them grow up and do things that we would do or say, because I'm the youngest in my family. So I don't have younger siblings to sort of be like, oh, you're like a mini version of me. And also I have three sisters. They're a lot older though. So we're not that similar, because there is such a big age gap. Mm-hmm. And I know obviously there's a huge age gap between me and my child, but being able to see those little things, that must just be really cool.
Yeah. And the stuff they do say things like in an embarrassing way, like one of the things that I'm really, you know, trying not to, I say is like, I've had enough, like, okay, Aaliyah, I've had enough. And she started saying it. She's like, Mom, I've had enough. I was like, oh, fuck. Stop doing that.
That's so funny. I suppose it's like having a mirror in front of you all the time, right? Yes. And they pick up on all the little things that you wouldn't even realize you do, and then it must just be like a slap in the face.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where they're getting it from.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh no, I don't say that. Everyone's like, you say that.
Oh, how cool. Yeah, I'm excited.
Okay. So I could talk to you about mom stuff all day long. I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
And my love to Dom as well. I'm so happy for you guys. So let's talk Instagram. I feel like so many changes have happened. I feel like, well, we all know that the algorithm is always changing and stuff. And let's give people a little bit of clarity, like some overarching guidelines, which I know you have a new ebook now downloaded, and it's actually really amazing.
Oh,
we go through those steps, and I realize I'm not even doing them, and it makes it makes so much sense. I'm like, come on. So let's go through the new rules for getting more followers in 2021.
Right.
However you want to, you lead the way in terms of how you want to share that.
Okay. Where shall I begin? Let's begin with posting less, because I think that's something that everyone wants to do anyway. And the evolution of Instagram as a platform. So Instagram was introduced in 2010, which will be 11 years ago this year. And when it was first introduced, like any platform, there weren't that many people on it. So you could post a lot of content. And when I started my first business on Instagram, and do not let this shock you if you're listening, but I was posting every 2 hours, 7 days a week. I know, wild, right? Because you could, and you could get good engagement, and you did get heaps of likes, and you did get heaps of followers. Now, as the platform grew in popularity and there were more accounts on it and more posting, it got busier and busier and busier and busier. So previously, you were posting to get attention because consumers were on the platform fiending for attention. Now you're posting to get noticed in between all the noise. So posting less but higher quality content is the way of the future on Instagram. I think the latest, let me just double check this from, I did a post on this the other day. I think it was 95 million posts are shared a day.
Wow, that's insane. So when you when you say to, you don't have to post as frequently, is there some kind of ballpark still that you would say, hey, look, at least show your face once a week type thing?
So what I would say is being active daily on the platform is what counts. Now, what I mean by being active is either post to your feed, either post to your story, either spend time engaging with your community. So responding to their comments, replying to their DMs, spend time reaching out and searching for new community members and new followers through hashtag searches or the explore page or the people who engage with the accounts of people that you follow. Being on the platform daily is more important than posting to your feed every single day. And then you just find out that works, what works in with your lifestyle. Because I always compare social media to fitness and diet and exercise. I cannot say to you, you must post 3 stories a day and 2 feed posts a day and spend 15 minutes at 9 a.m. doing this, because eventually you're just going to be like, I don't want to do this. This isn't working for me. So I want you to work out what being active on the platform daily means to you and then do that consistently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that, because I think a lot of people, like, one of the excuses is like, I don't have like really good content to be posting daily. And that, and I love that you said that being active is like engaging with your current followers, like DMing them, commenting on their stuff, showing that you're still there. I think, and you can do that for the mamas out there and for the people who are just like kind of doing it on the side. You can be doing that without having to show your face. You can do that baby down or whatever. So
I know extremely successful accounts that post to their feed once a fortnight. So there are no set posting guidelines to grow. There are no set posting guidelines to success. But I also know these people are responsive to DMs like that. So they're there, and that's what matters.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah, I love that. Okay, yeah. So not posting for frequency, but posting to get noticed. Like, make sure
quality.
It's high quality. Okay, awesome. What else?
So that links with really, really knowing and understanding your customer or your target market. Because when you know and understand that person, you can work out what is going to be quality, valuable content to them. What can you share that will help them? What can you share that will meet their needs? What can you share that will relate to where they're at on that day, at that time? The better you know your customer and your audience, the easier creating that content will be, because it's not about you. And that's where so many people get it wrong on this platform. It's not about you. It's about your audience and what they want to see and what they want to hear. And that will ultimately set you apart from your competitors and from the 94,999,999 other posts that day. Did I get that right?
I think you might have.
Yay, maths. I'm winning.
Yeah, definitely. And with the customer thing, I would say focus on the emotion, like rather than the demographics. Like, it's good to know your customer in terms of, you know, how old she is and all that, having an avatar, but then also what are their, like, speaking to their pain points.
Yeah.
Psychographics. Yeah. Like, what are you there to actually solve for them?
Yeah.
Is more important than, yeah, than what is interest of you today. Like, just no one cares what I'm, well, maybe they do, but what's more important is, like, how am I solving
their problems? 100%. Yeah. How am I serving them today? When you focus on serving and not selling, that's when you really start to see traction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I love that because I think there is, you know, there is a lot of selling on Instagram, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, like, you do have to go in for the ask eventually. But I think, you know, there are some people that are maybe just selling too hard. And I think that can sometimes push away a customer as well when you're always selling to them. So do you follow anything in terms of having a balance between, hey, I'm just being of service here, I'm just giving you amazing content, because I know you do, you give lots of tips, like, all the time. And then do you have a strategy around, like, I'm gonna only pitch for a specific launch, or do you have any recommendations around that?
Yeah.
Versus selling?
Look, this is really unique to the business. So in the social club, I have the social club content planner and guide, which has options for both product businesses, service businesses, and also influencers as well. Now, if you're posting daily, then the guide provides an option to promote your posts once to twice a week. If you're posting less than daily, then it's going to be less than that. So it depends on the business. It depends on what you've got to offer. Some businesses have new stock every day. Some businesses have new stock on the hour, and they're using Instagram as a shop to sell. And it is valuable to their customers to know what's dropping today. So again, it's got to come back to your customer, how they use your account. Do they use it as a shop, or do they use it for research? What do they use it for? Because when you know the answer to that, it will help you decipher how many times a week promoting and actively selling is appropriate for your business.
Mm. Yeah, I love that. And do you think that there would be a difference between like product-based versus service-based? Because as you were saying, I think it's helpful. Like for certain stores, I want to know the moment they have something new, I'm like, let me know. Mm-hmm. But when it's like a service, yeah, that's interesting. I'm kind of like figuring this out in my head right now. It's like when it's a service, when I'm buying from someone, it's like, I want to see the person and I like fall in love with the person. And then I also want to see what they have, but I don't have as much of a relationship with maybe like the head of a product company. But in saying that though, that's really only for big companies. Like when it's a big company, I'm like, just show me your products. But when it's a smaller company, like this, for example, it's a tea thing, that I love the idea, but then I really fell in love with like the girl as well. I'm like, oh, she's really lovely. And then that gets you.
It's because you trusted the big company, but you don't have that same trust for the smaller companies. So you need to, they need to deliver enough content for you to get to know them, to trust them. And then, like you said, you fall in love with that content, you fall in love with that person and that story, and you want to buy off it. Same as big companies. Like, what's the difference between buying a Versace bag and buying a bag from Kmart? Well, Versace has a story. It has a persona that when you wear that bag, this is what it represents, because it's a brand that you know and you follow and you know the history of, and you know all of Donatella's bloody plastic surgery journeys, and you already trust it. So the decision isn't whether to buy the bag off the company or not. It's, I want to be part of that story. But with smaller businesses that maybe you've just discovered on Instagram, you don't know their story. You don't know anything about their brand. And they may too have a $3,000 handbag, but it's going to take you a lot longer. Even if you have that $3,000 in your bank account, it's going to take you a lot longer to want to purchase off the new brand that you've never heard of before versus buying a Versace bag. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I find it so interesting because you said, yeah, it's that trust factor. 100%. Like, you could go into Louis Vuitton and I'm not going to question whether I'm going in to purchase something, and I know what I want, and it's that trust is there. And I wonder kind of why that trust is there. I guess because they're established, you know that they've been there a long time.
They've got credibility.
Credibility, yeah. And the story, exactly. Mm. Again, going back to the emotion, right? Mm-hmm. Going back to the emotion, anytime we purchase something or we're striving for a goal or whatever, we're actually chasing a feeling. And so you know that you're going to get that feeling when you buy that bag. You like, as you were talking about the story, you know you're going to get that because you know the story, you know the history of that company. And so, yeah, it makes so much sense to then, as an entrepreneur who was starting out and building that that brand trust, to put your face out there and put your story out there. Your story is so
important. So important, yeah, if you want to get that trust.
Yeah, and I think that's what's really cool about even like service companies like ours, where, you know, people are so excited about your baby because they know you. And so they feel like they've got this proximity to this little baby, you know? So it's really cool to bring people along in the journey.
It is. Even when I did announce it, I had so many DMs from people that were like, Brooke, I met you before you got engaged. I came to a workshop with you and, you know, seeing your journey over the years, like, I'm so happy for you. And it's like, wow, there really are people who have been there from the very, very, where Dom was just my boyfriend, now he's my husband, now he's going to be the father of my child. And like, isn't that wild?
It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Okay. What else can we be doing on Instagram to grow our following or to, now that's a question in itself. Is our goal still to grow our following? Do you think that that's always the main goal of Instagram, or is that secondary to something else, or is that always the primary thing?
I mean, look, there's a couple of ways to look at this. Having a big following doesn't pay the bills. Being able to convert that following into customers and sales is what ultimately creates a successful business using the platform. I think that the misconception comes from, if I have a big following, I have more potential customers to sell to. But again, it's about having the right following. You've got to have a following of consumers who have a need or a want or at least an interest in what it is that you're offering, because otherwise you won't convert them to customers. I have social club members with 200 followers that are making sales every week. I have social club members that come in with hundreds of thousands of followers saying, Brooke, can you help me? Because we are not making sales. So it shows that that number isn't as important as we think it is when it comes to sales, but your influence over the following you do have is what really, really counts and what really makes a difference. So, I mean, you want to build up your audience so that you have, I suppose, a better understanding as well of what they need and want and their interaction with you, because you've got to have a starting point. But if the question leads to, is a large following the only way to make sales off the platform, then the answer to that is absolutely not at all. And influence over your following is what you want to focus on growing. And as you do that, your followers will naturally grow with that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that, because I think that's one of the biggest blocks for people, is they think they need to have this massive following, or they feel like, how can I compete with, you know, other companies that have a massive following? So in that regard, then, do you think it is just the strategy then, like how you show up, how you engage with your audience, and how you build that trust and how you bring them along to your story, that's going to be more important than having the large following, but always maintaining that we're not going to say no to new customers. So obviously we still want to grow that platform, because they're all still potential customers coming in for your business.
Totally. And if you provide valuable content, and like I was saying before, invest time in engaging on the platform, you will grow. You will, as long as you do that consistently. But if you just post once and then sit back and wait for hundreds of followers or thousands of followers to come to you, well, that's not going to happen either. It's about the small actions that you do consistently over time, when you know your audience and you know your customer and you deliver that valuable content, and then you also engage with them, because Instagram is a two-way communication platform. That's what's going to grow your account.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah, I have definitely been, like, full transparency, I have been one of those people that, like, I don't have time today, so I'm just going to quickly post. And it's like, you're forgetting, like, I forget. I need to go in there, make sure I'm responding to all my DMs and responding to the comments and all of that. And that's actually can be more valuable than just putting out good content. So
totally. Yeah.
I love that. Okay. Before we go into any other tips that you have, I'm just going to have fire rapid question time. You said
okay.
Fastest response.
I love these.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Champagne or wine?
Oh, either. I would take either right now. Red wine.
Oh, okay. So like,
I miss alcohol so much.
Does the smell turn you off though? Because like when I was pregnant, I was at alcohol.
Okay. This has been really interesting. So I'm not a massive drinker at all. Well, used to be when I was younger, but I do really enjoy like a glass or two of wine at the end of the week. Then when I got pregnant and started feeling sick, the thought and the smell of coffee, the thought and the smell of any alcohol, like just nah. Then when I started to feel better, which is so, this is so strange. The only thing I have craved is beer. And I didn't even drink the thought of, when I wasn't pregnant, I never liked beer. I didn't like the smell of it. I would never ever want a beer. But when Dom cracks a beer, I'm like, can I sniff it? And it just smells like it would be the best thing ever. So that's weird.
That is so funny. But I don't really drink like hardly ever. And in my third trimester, I was really craving mojitos.
Oh, really?
I don't
know. Did you still crave them after or you just went off it?
I would have taken one if someone offered it to me. Like if I had just given birth and someone was like, do you want one? I probably would have taken it. Yeah.
Interesting.
Beach or snow?
Beach. I hate the cold.
Oh, so no winter sports.
No sports in general. No, I hate the cold. That's also been something really funny. People almost on the daily or multiple times a day, if it's a hot day, will message me saying, how are you going in this heat? Are you okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm always cold. Like you saw me, I just took my fleecy jumper off. Like it's been fun.
Yeah, same. I'm always cold, so I was not bothered by the heat at all.
Nah.
France or Italy?
I actually haven't been to either, but I'm gonna say France because we were meant to go to France last year. I'm gonna say France. Yeah.
Oh, I love both. And I love saying those two because I know it's so hard even to imagine about them. They're just so amazing. And finally, favorite designer. You had to choose.
If I had unlimited budget.
Yeah. Like if you could just access this person, like this designer's
everything.
Yeah.
Balmain. What you're wearing, 100%, their clothes. If I could wear Balmain every day, I would find a way to make it work, even going to the gym.
Yeah, well, I find that their clothes are just so
amazing.
So wearable.
Yeah.
So wearable, though, like for every day. Like, yeah, so amazing. Yay. Okay, awesome. All right. So any other tips that you would you would give someone who is trying to make the most of their internet?
Well, their Instagram.
Instagram.
Definitely getting your face on camera. If you've never done it before, it's a game changer to your account. But I understand how scary it could be. And this is how I would recommend beginning the journey of getting your face on camera. Set up a professional branding photo shoot because you will look and feel your best and you will get professional quality images that you'll be proud to share and also is important to you coming across as a credible brand with authority. And it's when you get the feedback from your following from those images that you get the next little confidence boost to go, maybe I could do a face to camera story. And it's doing those little steps that will build your confidence. If I was to say to someone that had never ever done a face to camera story before or ever even posted their face on their feed, I want you to do a live video tomorrow. There is no way it's going to happen. No way. But if we take it as a multi-stepped process, in every step, your confidence will build a little bit more and a little bit more. I had a girl in, or lady, should I say, in my coaching program, Social Club Plus. And when we started the program, she said to me, Brooke, I will never, ever, ever put my face on Instagram ever. And she was, it was just a non-negotiable. She does face to camera stories every day now. And watching her confidence blossom and then ultimately her business grow because of it has been just so beautiful to see, because she is a beautiful girl and she has so much value to offer, but she just couldn't see how her audience would ever find it valuable and how she would ever have the confidence to show up on camera. So this was how we did it. I got her to set up the branding shoot. We started with just sharing one photo from the shoot, just one. And then she said, oh my God, Brooke, my DMs are blowing up. My comments are blowing up. And I was like, because you have an incredible business, but you've been hiding behind a logo and people want to see who you are. And it's just proof that when you give people what you want, you start seeing the results that you've been battling to get coming so easily. It builds your confidence and then you do it more. And then before you know it, you're doing face-to-camera stories every single day.
Oh, I love that. That's so amazing. You know what I love about your approach is that it's so digestible. And I love that you didn't just say, well, you just got to get on camera and just get
it's
on.
It's terrifying.
It is.
Getting on camera is terrifying.
It is. It's so, so scary. And I love that you give them like baby steps, but they're strategic. It's like the photo shoot will 100% give you confidence. You'll look at those photos and you'll be like, whoa, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
And you put that first photo up and then you're saying you get that response, that feedback, and then working up to that. And the other thing that I would say to people is like, when you do, because sometimes I was actually talking to a client the other day. She was like, I hate it. Sometimes I practice so much what I'm going to say. And then like, I don't even end up using it. And I've wasted all this time. I was like, well, if you think about it, like every time you just practice getting on camera, every time you record the video, even if you haven't used it, it's like a rehearsal. Look at it like a rehearsal. You know, if you have kids that are in dance class or whatever, you're not like, oh, well, you just wasted this Wednesday. You didn't even get up on stage. Like they're
totally
right. And then you build that confidence. And that's what I loved about what you said. It's like doing those baby steps to build that confidence and recognizing, getting your head around the fact that nothing is a waste. Everything is this incremental, important step towards getting that confidence and that ability to be out there and do what you need to do in your business.
Totally. It comes over time. It's just something that you need. Practice makes perfect, and it doesn't even make perfect. It makes done, and done is better than perfect.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, Brooke, I love you so much. Thank you so much for your time. I had the best time talking with you. I feel like I get a little mini coaching.
You do.
And I just wanted to share that, like, Dan and I have been talking about it. He's like, you need to just get on it. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. So I'm going to be signing up for Brooke's community. Yay.
The social club. I was like, what are we signing up for? Am I in it? I love it.
I'm so excited. I've been wanting to do it. And I was, you know, that like limiting story that like entrepreneurs like to say, like, oh, I don't have time. Mm-hmm. I can't afford not to be more strategic with it. That's just it. It's like the time is going to pass anyways. And where are we going to be a year from now in terms of your strategy? So that's the advice I would have for anybody that is in entrepreneurship. I know that everything feels like it takes more time. So you have to be strategic with what you're doing with it.
And this is the way I look at it as well. If you watch even just 1 hour of Netflix a day, the social club membership is a half hour video a week. That's it. That's all you need to watch.
Mm-hmm. So Netflix ain't going to be buying your products and paying your bills either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The time is there. It's just about how you prioritize it and what you prioritize.
Okay, guys, I hope you got some powerful takeaways from this episode. If so, please share it with someone. And if you haven't done so already, please review and subscribe as it helps us to spread our message of inspiration. Sending you all so much love, and I'll see you on the next episode of The Hustler's Guide to Flow.